Okay, 2 Kings, the last book of 2 Kings, last chapter, chapter 25, and we're going to look at verses 27 through 30. We're going to look at the king's allowance. That's what we're going to get to. But we're going to look at a few verses, 27, 28, 29. Before we venture into verse 30, which will be our main text, let's back up and view very clearly and boldly the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. Let's read in verse 27. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to the king of Judah, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And we'll stop there. We won't get to the last verse until we get there. So there's the history behind it. There's Jehoiachin. He's in prison. He's in prison a long time. Let's just say he's in prison. Last time I looked at this, I went back a couple chapters and we saw, you know, when he began to reign. He didn't begin to reign. It wasn't, and then he got captive. They just came and took him captive. So he's been in prison for quite a while. Quite a while. Held captive a long time. We're born in sin. We're born in sin. We are captive, held captive by our own sin, our own corruptions, our own frailty. I ask you these questions as I thought about this, and I asked myself, was Jehoiachin, the king of Israel, was he able to exercise his supposed free will and let himself free or loose? Did he loosen himself? Not according to the text. He didn't loosen himself. He just was in jail. Secondly, did Jehoiachin have the ability or power or strength to set himself free? Nope. Thirdly, did Jehoiachin have some sort of cooperation between him and this king of Babylon to bargain his way out? No. He didn't walk an aisle. He didn't rededicate his life. He wasn't sprinkled as a kid. None of these things, because none of these are biblical. But what is biblical is we find this man in captivity, just like every son and daughter of Adam's race in captivity. It's full of sin. We would not have Christ. I don't care how religious we are. We would not have him to reign over us. So the second thought is, how did this Jehoiachin, this king of Judah, how did he get set at liberty? Well, verse 27 and 28. Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. He spake kindly to him. He set his throne above the thrones of the kings that were with him in Babylon. Jehoiachin simply received this grace given him by the sovereign of the realm. In this case, is Evil-Merodach. But I think what is interesting is, look at, you talk about a day of salvation, an appointed time. Look back up in verse 27. The king of Judah, the 12th month, the 7th and 20th day of the month, is when that Evil-Merodach began to reign. So it's written for our edification and use. When is the time of your salvation? The exact time, day, and month appointed by our sovereign God. He'll cross your path and hear the truth, hear the gospel, and you were captive, and you'll be set free. So this is how this king of Israel or of Judah got set free. The free, unmerited, unasked for grace of this king of Babylon. He did it, this king of Babylon did it without any works or worth or merit found in Jehoiachin. He's just simply set him at liberty. This is how God can be both just and justify the ungodly. He simply does it because to show us and to tell us for our encouragement that he is God and he alone. We are held captive in the bonds of sin and iniquity, and he, through the act of sheer and supreme grace, sets the captive free. He uses, as I said, the truth of his gospel proclaimed, and the Spirit quickens, and who he will, and we are new creatures. And I looked that word creatures up. I've used this 100 times. I thought, well, let me finally see what that means. We're new buildings. We're new creatures in Christ. Buildings in Christ Jesus. Simplified with the name of this church is Sovereign Grace. And if I ever have anybody ask me, and I haven't in a while, I simplify it to the least common denominator. You know me. What does that mean? Sovereign is who God is, and grace is how he saves. And you can elaborate on any of those, but just to keep it simple. A guy asked me, he was very religious and very, very God this and God that and everything. And he says, I don't understand. He says, I don't think we're saying the same thing. He says, what's the name of your church? So I told him. He says, well, what is that? And I said, simply, God is sovereign. Stop. Supreme. He governs all. He owns all. He's the creator of all. There's none who are above him. He does as in the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of heaven and on earth, and none can stay his hand. I quoted scriptures. And then he says, okay, you're saying he's the president or he's the king. You know, yes. In grace, that's how he saves. It's not by your worth. It's not by your work. It's not by your merit. It's not by anything you do. And I shared to him out of, you know, the Old Testament, you know, it's not because you were the greatest in number or this, this, and that, but because I loved you. And then I went to everlasting love. And I said, salvation is completely out of your hands. You can't walk it. And they walked the aisle and they rededicated. I said, no, it has nothing to do with the Word of God. And that's when the conversation ended. Dead man, or in this case, those in prison, cannot do anything to please this King of Kings. We have no rights or privileges under the dominion of sin. Only in Christ do we realize life, liberty, and peace that passes all understanding. So what does the grace of God do? Verse 28. It speaks kindly to us. It speaks kindly to us. In the margin it is, he speaks good things to us. Well, good things. Isn't the gospel called good news of Christ fulfilling all righteousness for us, pardoning us, pardon towards us, everlasting life to us, justification, sanctification, glorification, election, mercy, hope, contentment, on and on. These are kind things. The law was against us. Spoke against us, guilty, and then the great Redeemer of his people stepped in. Henry made a comment one time, you know, the guy's getting ready to shoot, and he emptied all six chambers in the heart of Christ. Christ took it for us. He speaks kindly in the text. He lifted up his head by the free and sovereign grace that he was king. I can do this to this other person in jail. He sets him free. Then he speaks kindly to him. And oh, when you hear the gospel, it's such kind words. It's such glorious words. And then look at what else he does. Look at what else grace does. And he set his throne above the thrones of the kings that were with them in Babylon. Aren't we now, according to Revelations 1 and 6 and 5 and 10, are we not now kings and priests unto our God? Yes. Kings and priests unto our God. Look at verse 29. This is also what grace does. He changed his prison garments. We are now fully and completely clothed in our sweet Redeemer's robes of righteousness. We are shielded and sheltered in Christ. Our life, says Colossians 3:3, is now hidden with Christ in God. That's not all. Look at what else grace does. And he did eat bread continually before him or with him all the days of his life. Now, who does this sound like? Doesn't this sound like that old rascal Mephibosheth? I love that story too. All the days at the king's table. And one writer said, he's, the way he's seated, you couldn't see his, he was lame on both feet. Those were hid under the table. And that's how God sees us. He sees us in Christ. We know we can't walk. We know we still struggle. But oh, when our sight becomes more like Christ's sight and God's sight, we look down and all we see is food. And we're thankful for it. Thankful for it. That basically what it tells me, all the days of his life, were fed sufficiently. Grace, he feeds his dear sheep constantly and sufficiently. May we take this time, 5 minutes till 11, this Sunday the 5th, to bless the Lord all that is within us. Because we don't know. We don't know if we'll be here Wednesday, or Melinda and I will be here Wednesday. We're going to keep the doors open. But I mean, physically, we don't know if we're going to, we don't know if we have tomorrow is what my point is. We don't know if we have tomorrow or the next day or the next day. So right now, good times. Good time if it's 5 till, 5 past, 4 past. It doesn't matter. It's always a good time for the brethren to bless the Lord God, all that is within us. Now, let's get to verse 30, because that's basically what I wanted to get to. And then I started reading in front of that. Nope, can't pass that up. Look at verse 30. If we're fretful, if we're concerned, if we're worried, if we're fearful, if we're all these different things, if we're God's children, this is what the Word of God says to you. And Jehoiachin, his, ours. Jehoiachin is a picture of the elect of God. And our allowance is a continual allowance given us of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ, a daily rate for every day, all the days of our life. What about tomorrow? All the days of your life. Let's look a little closer at this after salvation, this keeping grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that he's promised to us. Now, this word allowance, it simply means ration or an appointing. An appointing, which ties in with predestination and destiny and providence and all these things. Our allowance from our great God, what we have we not freely, has he not freely given us all things in Christ? Yes. All things needful for our daily journeying while we wait his return. Our allowance, our ration, our appointment is a continual allowance given us of the King, a daily rate for every day, all the days of our lives. It's not necessarily all our wants. I'll make that clear. We want a lot of things. I've had my eye on a newer pickup truck for a long time. It may happen, it may not. That's a want. We have needs. And he's supplied our needs here to get here. Oh, it doesn't matter. If it still runs, it's God's grace. Well, let's look at this. We have a sure portion, a portion given us, a gracious portion, and lastly, a perpetual portion. So first thing, he says, this allowance is a continual allowance. It's a sure portion. It's continual. That word continual means constant or regular. Or regular. This grace is like Jehovah himself. It's uninterrupted, it's constant, and it's sure to all the seed. Isn't it nice in a world full of uncertainty and broken promises, but not our kinsman redeemer? if he has given us the Son, he just doesn't ignore us. He doesn't let us go. Okay, now you're on your own. No, that's not him. We have a continual allowance. Secondly, this is a portion given or bestowed, which is grace, by the King. Grace upon grace unto us, his servants, his children, like a father caring for and over his little ones, like a shepherd protecting his fold, like the sovereign making all things work together for us. It's a continual allowance. It's constant. It's given, bestowed, or graced of the King. And if he's not like man. He says he doesn't repent. So he doesn't say, this guy has disobeyed me. He doesn't, I'm going to pull it. No, he doesn't. The gifts and calling of God, what it says, without repentance. It's thirdly, this allowance is a gracious portion. A daily rate. A daily rate. This is all we really need is today. We can't spend tomorrow's money. We can't wear tomorrow's clothes, shoes, ties. I just wear one tie. You ought to see how many ties I got. That's life in this country. Nathan and I talked about this all the time, or used to talk about it a lot. This country is spoiled. This country is fast food everything. Our allowance is a daily rate. Sufficient, says the scripture, is the evil for tomorrow. Is that not correct? Today is all that is promised. Rest in his promise. That's why we say, Lord willing, I'll do this and trade. And James, he says, if the Lord wills, I'll do this, get and buy and sell and get gain. That's why we also say, give us this day our daily bread. Because if it lasts too long, it's going to spoil. It's like the manna. They picked up what they needed. If they tried to gather more, it rotted. That's how we are by nature. That's how we are by nature. I remember talking to Jean-Claude, and I said to him, and I know I've said this to some of you, that I said, boy, it would be nice if some of these, the brethren, the African brethren, would come over here. And he said, I wouldn't do it. I will not do it. He said, it'll ruin them. Because they're living in what we would say is poverty, but they're content. And he said, to bring them over here, and even the smallest houses, or what we said are a little bitty old thing, he said, they wouldn't understand it. And I know Melinda and I have talked often, if Spurgeon were to drop in on my generation at my house, he's like, well, what is this? It's each generation. But I'm telling you, grace never changes. It's a daily rate. That's all we need. That's all we need. And we're so frail and so weak, we need daily portions. Thank God for his daily sustaining grace and mercy to us who are so undeserving. When we get down and we're sick or whatever, we're down on our back, You're not looking about tomorrow. You're thinking, Lord, get me through this day. We are to redeem the times. That's how we are to live. And lastly, this daily rate was for every day, all the days of our lives. All the days. If Brandon could say something to Cole right now and say, as long as I'm alive, whether you work or not or anything, I'm going to be able to take care of you every day. Wouldn't that be great? That would be wonderful. But we can't. And we don't. And the kids grow up and they get married and they move off and they do these things. But our Heavenly Father will never, like we read in Isaiah 44, he will never abandon his sheep. Never. Never. We have a perpetual portion, all the days of our life. Let me go back. All the days of his life. All. What does that mean? It means all. Adjectives. It means all. Since our days are numbered from old eternity, so is our portion. Let's look at Deuteronomy 23. I'm sorry, 33. I wish I could follow this advice. Deuteronomy 33:25. The last part of verse 25. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days. Well, do I have 68 years? Do I have? I don't know. I'm not going to go there. Just like I'm not going to go into why this is happening. You know, people, everybody's got their opinions, even grace preachers. But there's a disagreement about on grace preachers. I've read the last 2 weeks. Bulletins, everybody's saying it's kind of the same thing, but they're not. But I thought, okay, go back to the main thing. What do we believe? The gospel. Stick to the gospel, because that never changes. You say this is that, you say that, that. Well, I could go to scripture and say, well, I don't think so. It's okay, though. We're human. We have the ability and the right, I guess, to, as Tim says, sanctified ramblings. But boy, I wish I could live this. As my days are, so shall my strength be. Well, what happens when I get old? Am I going to be in a wheelchair? Am I going to be in a nursing home? I don't know. I just know He'll be with you. He'll never leave nor forsake you. There's a promise. Lay hold of it. Take it. Store it up. And when you need it, spend it. Every day a new challenge. Every day there's a new trial in this world. Every day a new hardship. A new mercy, though. And so, to the exact portion or strength we have to glorify God in. Exactly the strength we need. It doesn't take much volume. It doesn't take much wind. It doesn't take much lung power to praise God. But isn't it hard? No, leave me alone. We're like Jonah. I'm like Jonah. Leave me alone. I don't want to be here. Leave me alone. I wanted to be over here, and you took me, and you got me. And then he brought destruction, or somewhat destruction, fear upon this whole unbelieving crew. And they're like, well, here's the problem. That's right. The grace of God in us makes us different. And then people will say, there's the problem. Cast him out. No, we ought to know better. And I'll close with this. And our wonderful Savior is all our needs met to the fullest. A daily portion. Continually. Every day. May we enjoy our daily feastings with Christ the Lord. And I guarantee you'll never go hungry while our King reigns and rules over all. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous begging bread. Is it going to be smooth sailing? No, we're just sojourning. It's never smooth sailing. Woe to the believer who finds his comfort and ease in the ways of the things of the world. No, we are called to suffer. We're called to be persecuted. We're called to reign with him. And I could mention all the negatives and get everybody all discouraged and bummed out. But no, I'm not going to do that. He has promised every one of his children a daily rate, continually, all the days of our life. Do we really need more? Do we really need more? No. I can tell you what happens with the children of Israel were wandering, and they hid that gold. They kind of hid it. You know, they took more than they were supposed to. It's like the manna. They hid it. And then there was something going on. Sin was in the camp. And they said, and then the Lord narrowed it right down to the tent, the family, and they'd hid. No, God knows, and he sees everything. And I remember an old sister told me one time, she said, just be honest before God. Yes, just simply be honest before him, and let us be honest one with another. We're weak, we're frail, we're nothing. But we've been with Christ, and Christ has been with us. And right now, he's preparing a place. He's preparing us for for the place. And he's got the place already prepared. And how are we going to get there? Day by day. Oh, incidentally, relying on the king's provision. To God be the glory. Brandon, would you close us?